Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it's 11:25 p.m. and that is on January 13th, and it's still Saudi Arabian time. I'll be heading off to the airport in the not too distant future, so I'm going to be recording just a half hour before the close on Wall Street. And the Nasdaq is down over 2%. So, pulling back from the 16,000 level, this has been a pretty meager rebound from the region of the 200-day moving average, and it looks like a dead cat bounce. So now the big question is, what happens next? Is it going to pull back below the trend mean, break the uptrend, move into a much deeper correction, and then put significant pressure on the Federal Reserve to do something about it in the form of walking back some of the talk about raising interest rates, or potentially to even delay the speed with which they are tapering the continued high level of 5-year yields is beginning to tax investor sentiment, but it is also starting to come back down. So we're getting demand for bonds finally starting to come through, which is also indicative of risk-off behavior. So that's beginning to price in the inevitable reaction of the Federal Reserve to a deeper correction. If I weren't in a state of flux right now, moving between one country and another, then I'd probably be opening my short again right now. But I'm probably going to wait until I get home and see how things pan out maybe tomorrow. Now, when we then think about what's going on with gold, the price has been steadying, but it eased back a little in here today. And the question, of course, is it going to start to attract speculative interest and safe haven interest in the event that the growth trend on Wall Street begins to roll over further? And I suspect that there is at least a fighting chance that gold will start to pick up some interest, and not least because there is practically no speculative interest in gold right now. If we think about where the big speculations are, where the leverage is, well, we've had some whopping downward dynamics over the course of the last year, and that has scared people and made people extremely tired of sitting through volatility with nothing to show for it. So they've been closing positions, and instead of leverage longs, there may even be leverage shorts. But we have a sequence of higher reaction lows, which is a sign of accumulation, and that's been going on since March of last year. So there is the significant potential that gold is going to pop on the upside. Now, at the summit that I've been at here in Saudi Arabia, there's been a lot of talk about gold. There's been a lot, even more talk, though, about copper. And copper prices are negative today, but still holding here in the region of the trend mean. Now, the one thing that I think is relevant is there is now a consensus among the mining community that we're at the dawn of a new secular bull market in copper. And I've got a lot of sympathy with that. I wasn't, however, aware of how widespread that view is. And the mining community appears to be salivating at the opportunity, because the quantity of copper required to even come close to achieving the decarbonization or even electrification goals of the global community means that the supply of copper is going to have to double. And it takes years to find really impressive world-class copper resources. Well, Ivanhoe Mines is certainly attracting a lot of attention because of what Robert Friedland had to say today. And the share rallied well in excess of the statements made. So it's coming back a little into the close today. But what they are proposing is, or at least what they've got, is data that supports their Typhoon geophysics program. So they drill down into the ground, and they run very high power electric current through the earth, and then they use artificial intelligence to identify ore bodies that conduct electricity. And that helps them then to identify bodies like copper and gold, but also they can use some of the other technology that they've developed, the iPulse technology, to identify water. And that's using shockwave technology to transfer energy. So there's quite likely to be an IPO of Ivanhoe Electric later this year. And from the people I talked to, at least in the company, they were saying that the talk, at least, is that they're going to deploy a royalty program so that in return for using this geophysics program, which is orders of magnitude more powerful and accurate than existing technology, that the company will demand a royalty from the resources found. And of course, that will then contribute to income-producing properties that really could be really beneficial from the perspective of investors. So certainly, it's a company that's worth watching, and most particularly if it can hold the breakout from this range. Of course, then we have the performance of Tesla, and of course, the most bullish portion of the copper bullishness is that we're going to have a lot more electric vehicles. But Tesla has been ranging for most of the last 2 months, and it does look like this most recent rebound is fading now too. So the price is hovering here around the $1,000 level, and the region of the 200-day moving average is coinciding with the peak from earlier this year, so it's certainly a more risky environment overall. And certainly, there's a lot of bullishness around, particularly from owners of Teslas. Although I have met plenty of people who've had Teslas and traded them in because they weren't happy with the build quality. So there's certainly two sides to that argument as well. But it's trading on an extraordinary valuation. And even with earnings and with the estimated PE due to halve over the course of, well, through to the, I'm sorry that this estimated PE says 1221, so that would be the historic PE at this stage. I don't know why it still has the 336 in there. But the reality is Tesla is going to have to sell multiples more cars in order to bring down that valuation. And obviously, they're going to have challenges in sourcing materials. And we've had a really significant advance already in lithium prices. And nickel prices were pushing on to new highs and breaking out of the base formation earlier this week. And this looks like a really quite impressive change. But it's not so much about the demand for nickel, but rather the inability of China to continue to refine pig nickel resources because of the carbon intensity. So that's been the thing that has turned the underperformance of nickel into a position of outperformance. Now, when we look at other stock markets, well, we have to just think about then there are two important factors. The first is that the dollar is coming back down. So it's now rapidly unwinding the overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and it's back in the region of the upper side of the most recent range. Now, if we're moving into more of a risk-off environment, well, that could potentially create demand for dollars as people seek cash. So we might see some steadying in here. But if investors begin to see, or if we see further strength in bonds, and people starting to think, for example, that we're only going to have one or maybe two interest rate hikes instead of four, well, that could potentially then result in the dollar pulling back further. And a weaker dollar has been the missing ingredient from emerging markets. So emerging markets are also weaker in here today. They're not going to be able to sustain strong performance while Wall Street's pulling back. But if the dollar does in fact roll over, despite the short-term potential for a rebound, then that's going to create a very different environment for performance within emerging markets. And certainly then the growth outlook and their ability to perform based upon their internal dynamics and the potential for stronger currencies, well, that would be a much more impressive suite of things to think about rather than constantly having to compare the performance of everything to the Fang Man shares. And I think it is still relevant to pay attention to the performance of those eight big companies relative to the total market. I've said very clearly that I didn't think this bull market would end until the Fang Man shares broke lower. So we definitely have a failed upside break. And now it's coming back into the region of the trend mean. So there's nothing to say. Well, one thing we can clearly say is that from 2014 to 2020, this was a beautifully consistent trend. And it accelerated in 2020. And acceleration's a trend-ending signal. And since then, we've had a significant loss of momentum. And it did look like back in the latter part of 21 that this index could have broken on the upside, and now it's failing. And it's coming back to test the upper side of the underlying range and the region of the trend mean, so the ratio could break lower. And then when we think about the wider market, and sorry, that's the wrong index. If we look at the Russell 2000, well, it's right in the region of the lower side of the range, and it's beginning, or at least it's trying to find support. But it really does need to hold those lows, or we're going to look at a completing top formation. So I think this is a really delicate time for stock markets. We haven't had a significant pullback in really quite some time. And I've been clear in stating I just don't believe that we're going to have four interest rate hikes. I don't think it's possible. And I think one is much more likely, and that the peak in the interest rate cycle for this cycle might not be anything more than about 1% on the front end. So if that's the case, there's going to be a lot of money floating around. So I don't believe that this is the top of the market, and or at least that, but it could potentially be a lengthy consolidation for the very large companies. And that if we see a monetary and fiscal response, well, that should weigh on the dollar, and it could easily act as a significant catalyst for emerging markets. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.